Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast with Sharon Lecter. And today I'm excited to introduce you to Peter Cazadoy because we've been known, well, about a year, I guess, we've known each other. And yeah. Very, just absolutely thrilled with what he's doing. I'm always looking for those young highlights, the people that can really step up and take the lead. So many of the gurus that are gray hairs are dying, and we need that young generation to step up and become the role models and the highlights that we need in our life. So, and Peter, you definitely are one of those. And I've had the honor to listen to you and share your story. And I guess I should probably do your bio for everybody watching instead of just me.
Well, thank you for the introduction. I got to take you everywhere with me. That's fantastic.
Peter, well, I'm just delighted you had time with it for us today. Peter is a Inc. 5000 serial entrepreneur, TEDx speaker, and business coach, award-winning author of the new book, Honest to Greatness, How Today's Greatest Leaders Use Brutal Honesty to Achieve Massive Success. What an important book for today's environment that we have, because it is unbelievable. And of course, you wrote this before the craziness that we've had this year, but the need for honesty in the business world and certainly political world as well is just crucial. So, Peter, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time today.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, start off with little Peter and how you got to the point where you felt that you needed to write this book. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Let me take you back, because the great and terrible thing about writing a book about honesty is that I have to be honest, right? This story really starts at 17-year-old Peter, who knew two things to be true in his life. The first was he was going to the Olympics as a figure skater. I was a very serious figure skater, trained from the time I was 3 years old. Always had Olympic dreams. I was pretty good. And the other thing I knew to be true at 17 was that I was going to Harvard. I grew up on the South Shore of Massachusetts, right outside Boston. There was only one college. That was Harvard. Didn't know why anybody would go anywhere else. Well, by 18, Sharon, it was clear that I wasn't going to go to the Olympics. I wasn't good enough. I couldn't hold my nerves together enough when it counted. And also, I applied to Harvard. They sent me a very nice letter back saying, thanks, but no thanks. Don't call us. We'll call you. And the reason I start there is because that was the first sort of devastating time where I had to deal with the what I now know is cognitive dissonance between what I thought was true and what had actually happened in my life. And that derailing, it turns out, you know, as devastating as it was at the time, was massive fuel for coming out of college at 22 and starting a business and being an entrepreneur. I'd missed this sort of big mountaintop of the Olympics, but I had this independent streak. I'll tell you something, there's, you know, after you've gone out on the ice in front of 2,000 people and fallen on your ass alone, wearing tights in the cold and wet, nothing is difficult after that, I promise you. So, you know, really did, as devastating as that was, it did set a foundation for the company I would later build.
And what was your first company, Peter?
So I got out of college raring to go. I had worked for a chain of figure skating stores that was owned by my now business partner. And we're ready to go. I said to him, look, at every class I'm taking outside of the core, I'm taking at the business school there at Brandeis outside of Boston, learning about all this great stuff. Why don't I come down to Connecticut and help you grow these stores? Right? There were four, we'd go national, worldwide. Great idea. Well, the only problem was 2008 hit. That's when I graduated and came out of school. And as you know, credit markets dried up. We saw our payables pull back from, you know, 180 days to zero. So being the intrepid super smart people we are, we thought, well, what should we do now? I mean, we've got to restoke the fire for the figure skating market. This is the industry we're in. I know, let's go create a reality television show about figure skating. This was the big harebrained idea, because we saw that Dancing with the Stars was so popular, and we said, well, nobody cares about ballroom dancing. What the hell? So meanwhile, figure skating, most watched Olympic sport by far, every single Olympics, right? Big audience. So we said to ourselves, that makes a whole lot of sense. So we pulled together a pilot and shot a pilot for this. And as we did that, we were bringing together all these video production teams. Turns out you don't have to shoot a pilot to go pitch a TV show. We went to pitch it and they were like, figure skating? Eh, I don't know if anybody cares about figure skating. We were like, but ballroom, it didn't work. So there we found ourselves, Sharon, tens of thousands of dollars in debt. And finally coming to our senses and being like, well, maybe, you know, we have all these video teams together. You know, YouTube was just coming up. Maybe we should like shoot a couple of videos for money, like make money. You know, isn't that what entrepreneurs do, right? Probably a smart idea. So we started, when I say at the bottom, as a video production company, making $800 television commercials for local car dealers, which is exactly as glamorous as it sounds. And I remember thinking, man, if we could only, you know, get more $800 television commercials, we'd be rich, right? This is the path. So apparently I didn't, you know, in my business classes, I didn't take a whole lot of math classes, because if I had stopped to do the math, I would have realized like that was a really shitty idea. It wasn't even an industry like that was good, and so on and so forth. So we bounced along the bottom for several years until finally we were shooting web videos for a local college and doing a great job. One day the VP of marketing calls and she says, you know, we're going to go with a full service agency now. It's over $1 million account. It's a big deal. We had like just touched like 300,000 or so in annual sales. And she said, you know, it's a full service account, everything, media, design, whatever. Can you do this? Can you handle this? I mean, I like you guys. I'm happy to bring you in. So we kind of paused and we put the phone on hold and we were like, okay, all right, well, let's, you know, be honest, right? Can we handle this? You know, do we have graphic designers? No. Do we have account managers? No, don't have that. People that can do media and no, don't have that either. So, you know, reluctantly, we picked the phone back up. We said, yeah, of course we'll come and pitch. We'll be there. Just give us a day and time. We'll be there with bells on. Don't you worry. So we're at the pitch. We pulled together all these resources. We knew we had this in us because we were getting hired to do video production for other agencies. And we found out how much they suck. I mean, they were overcharging clients. Their strategies weren't that good, didn't work. They would miss headlines all the time. So that's what made us confident that we could do it better. You know, classic entrepreneur, I can do it better, right? Peter's ego getting in the way. You're going to meet Peter's ego several times throughout this interview. And so we're in the pitch. And at the end of the pitch, we show this video that we had been doing of all the students, right? Because we had inside access. And at the end of all their interviews, we reveal this tagline. And the tagline was going to be the bedrock of the entire campaign. And the room fell silent. And the president of the college is looking down at her package. And meanwhile, I'm looking around saying like, all right, which of the exits are the closest? For in that way, I'll probably scare a few people. Maybe the back door is better. And she looks up all of a sudden, she says, where did you get this? I've been looking for this for years. And I was tempted to say, well, because we're the biggest bunch of geniuses you've ever met, clearly. But I didn't say that because that was not honest. The truth was, we had figured out whose opinion mattered. It was the only opinion that mattered in the room, and that was their best customers, their students. And that's the first time I realized how honesty, in a sense, can positively impact an organization. So we won that pitch, and that was our sort of new cornerstone client. And we went on to, you know, grace the Inc. 5000 list of fastest companies in the U.S. for a couple of years in a row. And we had offices in different states and countries and so on and so forth until the next tragedy struck, which I'll save for the next segment.
I love it. I love it. But, you know, I think one of the things that we talk about, successful businesses solve a problem or serve a need. So you pulled together the opportunity to create and service that opportunity. But I think there's something else that I think you have going for you because of the training that you did as a young person. You know, so many people today, they just can't find that drive. And so the perseverance and that training gives you so much self-discipline. Talk about the self-discipline that you have in your life right now.
Businessman. You raise a good point, and I probably don't give enough, you know, to what that childhood experience was like, waking up very early in the morning to get to a rink to freeze my ass off and skate for 3 hours and then do, you know, off ice training and ballet and And just knowing what it's like to have a big goal and having to chunk it up into tiny steps for years, I think is a skill that we're missing in society and in young people.
Sadly. That they need to set goals for their kids and let them work to achieve the small goals, and soon they'll be a big goal. But that's how you see that self-confidence grow.
I think so. And I totally agree. And unfortunately, everything we have access to, instantaneous food delivery, instantaneous gratification on social media, we've built an instantaneous world. And unfortunately, nothing great happens instantaneously. In fact, I'd argue quite the opposite. So
I think the last few months have actually taught us a lot about what our true needs are compared to wants.
Indeed.
Complaining that they can't get their nails done, or they're complaining that they can't get room service in a hotel. It's like, okay, let's get back to reality here.
Priorities. Yeah.
So tell me the birth of the idea of Honest to Greatness.
Yeah, gosh. So as I said, we're chugging along, and then something terrible happened to me, which is that I turned 30. I don't know how people survive this, quite honestly. I mean, I barely made it through. It was shocking to me for a lot of different reasons. But what happened, Sharon, is I turned 30, first couple months, totally fine. And then for some reason, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And when I looked around in my life, listen, I mean, I'd built a $1 million company. I'd just married my amazing wife, who's way cooler than I am. We had moved into a house or flipping a house, for all intents and purposes. I should have just shut the hell up and been happy. But that's not always how life works. So I realized through a lot of self-honesty that because, after those two big failures, I had generally accepted a second best alternative scenario for my life. So, well, that didn't go the way it's planned. So I'm never going to be greatness anything. So I may as well just kind of bumble along. Still good stuff, but nowhere near my potential, right? With that sort of shaking of my body, I was able to achieve more in the year or two after I turned 30 than I had in the 10 years prior. That's when I started writing for Inc. and Forbes, and I picked up a TED Talk. I realized how stupid I was and went back to school to get an MBA at Columbia. And thank goodness, because wow, were there things I didn't know, the basics of business that I was like, well, someone should have taught me that. You'll appreciate this. Me, accounting, financial statements, 100% no. 2 + 2, 7 maybe? I don't know. Should have done all that, right? We already covered my bad at math thing earlier. So one of the things that came out of that was I had to get very honest about who I was like at the core. Like, what are the things, what's the checklist that makes me me? One of those things was being an author. I just knew I had a book in me. We said, Peter Cosadoy, who's Peter Kyle? He's an author, right? Entrepreneur is also one of those things, but I had that checked, right? The Inc. 5000 list. I always knew I wanted to be on that list. I always knew I wanted to write for Forbes, right? So all of these things really just bubbled up and exploded after 30. And I thought to myself, I can keep drifting. That's comfortable. But it really hit me that like 30, not getting younger, it's probably time to do something bigger with my life. Now, the irony in this all is we had actually gotten very good as an organization at helping other organizations get very brutally honest about how they needed to change, about what their frontline employees and customers were saying, about how the market was shifting, about how their own communication strategy sucked and they had to change it. We were really good at it. Like, that was one of our core things. And yet here I was lying to myself about who I really wanted to be and what I really wanted to do with my life, right? Talk about like blows to the head. And after that, I literally sat down to write a book. And I, people ask like, oh, well, honesty, that's so cool. I never set about to care about, think about, write about honesty whatsoever. Like, it shocks me to this day that this is how it turned out. I actually sat down, Sharon, to write a marketing book. And it was a marketing book out of me being pissed off that so many companies, when they could just be honest and people would appreciate it, choose to lie, sweep things under the rug. I mean, take your pick, Volkswagen diesel emissions scandal, Wells Fargo fake account scandal. I mean, we can go on and on, right? And all they have to do is be like, oh, I'm sorry. Wow, that was really crappy of us. We're going to fix this. We're going to invite you in so you can see how we're fixing it. We're going to make this right. And here's how we're doing it. By the way, Domino's Pizza did this and crushed it. Maybe we'll get to that story later. A lot of the organizations in my book take the same approach. So what happened was I wrote a marketing book and I went out to 400 literary agents manually. And many of them got back to me and were very angry. And they were like, Peter, never email me again. I hate you. You're never going to be an author. So that was a little disconcerting. But three were interested in talking to me. And one signed me, which was great. And as soon as he signed me, he was like, oh, this is great, man. Hey, by the way, this isn't a book about marketing. It's a book about honesty. And I was like, well, clearly I signed the worst agent ever. And you didn't even read the front page because it has nothing to do with honesty. Of course, you know, stupid Peter, I went home and was flipping through it. And I was like, damn, he's right. This is so much bigger than marketing or even sales or even communication. It's really about how an organization functions, how a society functions, how a human being functions, how to achieve results through recognizing what's true, what you really want, what it's going to take to get there. The simple thing we all learned in preschool about honesty being the best policy that somehow has been perverted and that we've forgotten and to our own detriment.
Well, and this may be a question out of left field, but as I sit here, I think about the impact social media has had on the world's lack of honesty, because it used to be 10 years ago, people would laugh if you sourced Wikipedia because it was not considered a credible source. Well, yeah. Today people source things from social media.
How far we've come.
The impact that you think social media has had on the level of honesty in business.
You know, that example you just gave is so poignant because you're right. I mean, even when I was in college, I mean, Wikipedia wasn't a thing, right? The question is, how did we move from knowing that this online source that was crowdsourced was, you know, factually maybe not 100% correct in some way, shape, or form, to everything my great Aunt Betty shares on Facebook must be true? How did that happen, right? And I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of different factors. One being just laziness. You know, I encourage people, every time you see something come at you, a piece of information, the source of that information is likely trying to persuade you. We give up our mind share, the power we have to form a competent opinion, way too easily in this country, probably around the world, but I won't speak for them. I'll speak for this country in particular. And even, Sharon, as I watch like the news headlines, right? I watch them closely through this pandemic. It's like deaths soared to 1,000 today, reaching new grim milestone. And I just think to myself, you know, they could have easily said deaths hit 1,000, still 0.0001% of population. It would have been equally true and probably less fear-based. And what I just hope people understand is if they step back and ask, what are the things going on behind the scenes there? What's the business model that they collect eyeballs and in turn eyeballs turn into money because that's how their ad model is set up? And all, like, we have all these incentives in our society to do something other than be forthright with the facts, which is really sad. And social media has generated, you know, this en masse through a megaphone. In fact, the very first chapter of my book is called Fraud is Our Fault. And it's this idea that every time we click on something and read something and share something that seems inflammatory and feeds into our own biases, and we don't check behind the scenes, who put this out? What are the actual facts? What's the report they're using to do that? Every time we do that, we empower ourselves to end up in the shit show that we're in. I mean, we're doing it to ourselves.
I think a lot of times it's innocence. I mean, I've done this at least twice, and now I really keep myself from sharing other people's posts where I've taken something that I thought was really amazing and shared it to have someone, you know, say, go to Snopes, it's not true. And you go, gosh, I just perpetuated this. And so I've really, you know, and it was from somebody that I trusted and knew. So I would just, you know, assume that they wouldn't do it if they didn't know it was true. So it's like one of those things you have to be very careful with everything you do.
Yes. And realize that all of us are operating not only now psychologically in our own biases, which always was true, but now we're being tricked into believing things. And these are smart folks. They know how to write a headline that captures attention. They know how to, you know, take emotion out of it. It's funny you bring that up because I got a lot of great media attention out of Plandemic. I don't know if you know this quote unquote documentary that circulated on YouTube. And everyone, immediately divided the country, as everything seems to do these days. And on the one hand, you had a bunch of people, smart people, saying like, maybe this stuff could be true, I don't know. And we had a whole other group of people saying, well, look at all those idiots that are watching this and sharing this. And you might be surprised to hear that I actually think the worst part of all that was the calling this group that was exploring these ideas stupid. And the reason why is because when you looked at the things that were being brought to us, the facts that were being brought to us from our leadership, they didn't know what was going on either. So when you don't have honesty and transparency from sources that we're supposed to trust, right? And I mean public sector, private sector, news media, whatever, of course people are going to be like, well, they don't know what the hell they're talking about. So at least I should investigate this for myself and see what it's all about. And I can't tell if it's true or not because nobody knows. So, you know, in that environment, I think we needed to be honest about how other people think, how society reacts to a lack of information. And I, unfortunately, it was sort of just like a leadership faux pas on so many levels. And it was sad. Didn't have to be that way.
Well, Peter, thank you. And if people want to find out more about you and the book, how do they find you?
So come have an honest conversation at honesttogreatness.com. It's honesttogreatness.com. You can take the 21 question honesty quiz, which will tell you how honest you really are if you're brave enough to find out. And book's out August 11th. I would love it if you read it. And the great thing is because it's a book about honesty, if you love it, go review it on Amazon. And if you hate it, go review it on Amazon.
And I had the honor of writing the foreword for your book. So I'm very excited about supporting this and making.
Thank you so much.
The one thing we need more in the world is honesty and integrity. And part of that is, you know, is the more we can highlight that, the better we will all be. Now tell us what's next on your agenda. You have the book out. What do you want it to do? Where are you going to go from here?
Yeah, good question. I mean, as I said, I'm a surprise crusader for honesty. I want executives and really any person with authority, right? Because we have like people with authority that are leaders, and then we have people with authority that are definitely not leaders. I've met a lot of those. I want people in authority to realize that there's actually a monetary incentive here. You know, when you be honest with your people and with your customers and about how the world's changing and all that, that allows innovation. That is the key that unlocks so many opportunities. And the case studies I show over and over again show you how this, the big scary thing of just like telling it like it is, being transparent, putting it out there, actually ends up being the industry dominating insight that takes them the rest of the way. If I can help people understand that there's a real incentive here, then I'll be happy. You know?
Well, and we need a lot more Peters in the world to help steer the ship in the right direction for the younger generation. So thank you so much for being with us today. And make sure you rewind and listen to this. And make sure you go ahead and get your copy, advanced copy, or if it's already out, go ahead and order it, Honest to Greatness. And share it with your friends, because it's a great tool to help get people focus on the right things, not focus on the wrong things. So
absolutely.
Thank you all. And thank you, Peter. You're going to hang out with me for a few minutes because we're going to do an extended interview for the Play Big Movement private Facebook group. So thank you for hanging in there, Peter. And thank you all for watching and listening. Please share this. Let us have your comments and make sure that you go out there and play big. That means being number one in your field, living your legacy, and creating maximum impact. Have a great day. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.